This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds coming to you this week. Kelly Bidlin on a much-needed vacation. Wes, you and I, we talking before we started recording. Man, if I could have, if you and I could have called in, the righty, called in the bullpen this week after this past week, we both were on Tom Kim. Could have been a nice little bump here after a little rough stretch in golf. And, you know, look, I made money. I'm sure you did as well. Hats off to Tom Kim making that 10-footer to get to a head-to-head playoff because it was a muddy hedge. I mean, a muddy, muddy hedge the entire tournament. I had friends texting me going, dude, what do we do? How do we make money? How do we make money? I go, we pray that he gets to a head-to-head. That's all, that's the only thing we pray.
That's basically what I was doing because it was like, you know what? The placement markets went okay. I'll come out a little bit ahead if he loses. I'm not going to, because Scotty went to like $6 and I think he went to almost minus $1,000, going on to the 18th tee. And then Tom Kim makes birdie. I was like, you know what? Now I can at least get out of it. Yeah. And I laid 140 in the playoff on Scotty. And, that's basically what I had to do. And, Tom Kim played great, just got beat.
By the best player in the world. Yeah. Hands down.
I have 9 runner ups, by the way, on PGA Tour outrights this year, and 4 of them are at the hands of Scottie Scheffler. So Tom Kim, Morikawa, and then the 2 guys, Xander and Harmon, at the Players, who finished T2. So, just what happens, man. It's frustrating, but what can you do? Tom Kim struck the ball beautifully. He made a clutch putt after obviously the hubbub on 18 with the protesters that came out there. And to be able to do that, that showed a lot. That showed a lot of metal because he hit that like a dart to within about 1.5 feet, and then it rolls away to about a little over, right around 10 feet. And then to make that's not easy, even though it was up the hill, that's not an easy putt to make. And he did. And then just got a fried egg in the bunker on the playoff hole. And it was all she wrote.
Yeah. And not only him making that putt, Wes, it really impressed me, but they tried to give him an out in the post-tournament interview where they were just like, the protesters came out and they had to move the hole and all this stuff for the playoff. Did that affect you? And like, they gave him the out and he goes, no, not really. I just hit a bad approach. This is like a 22-year-old kid that really, you can tell, has his head on his shoulders for sure. And someone that, as we, continue to do this, Wes, outside of Scottie Scheffler, you just look at some of the kids that are out there right now too. Golf is in very, very, very good shape. I mean, there are going to be some killers coming up too, trying to chase down Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, Tom Kim, I think, is one of the more likable guys too. He's got a good personality, is very talented, but Tom Kim, Ludwig Aubert, there's just so many that are coming down the pike right now. Heck, we got a 15-year-old Miles Russell playing in this event this week in the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Absolutely. I mean, we're sitting there looking at this and guys, it's why, if you want to do this seriously, I say this all the time to, again, same group of friends that were asked me for my golf picks every week. And they were, some of them got in and were able to make money last week and some of them were not. And they're like, oh, cussing up a storm. I can't believe it. I had 55-1 on Tom Kim, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, if you want to do it casually and you just want to sit back and you make your bet and you leave, that's fine. That's a way to bet. But if you're trying to do it seriously, if you got a guy in contention, you got to be watching. You got to be watching down the stretch. And, the opportunity presented itself, like I said, Wes, like, it was not there all day. It was the muddiest hedge maybe I've ever seen in my life. At one point or another, 6 different guys were either in the lead or tied for the lead or whatever. There was just no way to hedge that thing. We got lucky. He made that clutch putt and got us to a head-to-head where we were able to make some money on this deal. And, again, if you're trying to do it to actually make money, I know it's in the middle of a Sunday and you probably had your day off and you want to go and you want to hang out and do something, whatever, but you got to be watching down the stretch. Mm-hmm. If you got a guy in contention, because like I was able to, I stood to make a whole lot of money if Tom Kim had won, but like you said, so I got in at 140, 155, and then I got in again at 170. That's how quickly people were pouring in money on Scottie Scheffler, right? I mean, it was like, it was 140, then it got to 155, 170. but was able to come out of it with a good enough hedge to make some money one way or another. But it's just, I have a lot of seconds as well, Wes. It's just this golf season not going like last. I was getting home.
No.
Last year, this one won. You know, last year, Tom Kim found a way to win for me last year because I was just running like the sun and just not this year. Not this year.
No, it hasn't been for me either. And you know, having to find creative ways to get in and make money. Mm-hmm. Look, I probably got fortunate just to get that thing to a playoff and was able to get out because I was going to let it go. I was like, well, it's too late now. You know, I'm not going to lay minus $3 or $4 mm-hmm. or $6. So, you know, he made that putt and at least got something out of it from an outright perspective. And then the placements, solid with a couple on Cantlay. So, you know, that's a well-attended event and a well-supported event, but man, that course is easy. TPC River Highlands, as we saw on Saturday, Cameron Young, who's really had a down year, he shoots 59 on Saturday. So, you know, that's kind of an easy course, but I think you need a nice event in the Northeast. So I don't think it's going anywhere, but man, that technology has just caught up with that thing.
Yeah. I actually am okay where it is on the calendar following the U.S. Open, because it's like, I wonder how many people would decline if it was like another grind, you know, like you go grind for 4 days at the U.S. Open and where par is a good score and like where, if it was another grind it out, I wonder how many guys would just be like, I'm not doing it. You know, like, I'm not doing it. I'll catch y'all later. So I'm actually glad that they do it that way. Speaking of Tom Kim, as we head to the Rocket Mortgage, it is not a star-studded event this week, Wes. So he is your favorite. And as we had 55-1s on him last week, Tom Kim is 12-1 this week to win this tournament. Cam Young, 16. Minwoo Lee, who we normally get in that 40, 50, 60 rate, 20-1. Akshay Bhatia at 20. Taylor Pendrith, 25, as is Steven Yeager. Mav McNeely at 28. Keith Mitchell and Alex Noren, Aaron Rye are all at 30. And then everybody else is 35-1 or longer. We will certainly get into these guys at the top of the board, the middle, and I imagine some long shots here as well, Wes. But we are headed up to the Detroit Golf Club. And what can we imagine that we're going to see here from this course?
Yeah, you mentioned Tom Kim as the favorite, playing his ninth week in a row, by the way. So, you know, a lot of the top guys taking the week off because you only got 10 of the top 50 in the world golf rankings, none in the top 20 here, but not Tom Kim and a couple others. So Detroit Golf Club, par 72, 73-70, tree line, Donald Ross design, fairways are bent, POA, relatively wide, rough is actually thick at about 4 inches of bluegrass, but you don't really get in a lot of trouble off the tee here. There's not a lot of hazards. There's only one water hazard, I think, that comprises two water danger holes here, 87 bunkers. The greens are about 50-50 bent, POA, a little bit over 5,000 square feet on average. This is Donald Ross, but these are not the Donald Ross greens you saw at Pinehurst a couple weeks ago. There's still some slope, but they don't have the runoffs like Pinehurst has. They are back to front, though. That's pretty much what you're going to get on every Donald Ross design. 12 on the stamp, pretty much average speed. There was a little bit of rain, I believe, a day or two ago. So this is going to play a little bit softer than you would think. And look, when you look at the recent scores at this event, we've only had 5 years here, but the winning score has been 25 under, 23 under, 18 under, 26 under, 24 under last year with Ricky Fowler winning. So this is going to be at the bare minimum, I think, in the mid-20s, unless you get very unpredictable weather. This is going to be birdies, 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 and then more birdies after that.
I agree. You look, and as you said, like it's weird because you would think with the way that the rough, at least on paper, looks, that it would be, you know, penal to miss the fairway. But as we see, the greens in regulation overall are 7 points higher than tour average, and it's actually 8 points higher from a missed fairway greens in regulation than the tour average. And so it's just going to be a course, as you mentioned, that not only they're going to score, but with the conditions, likely going to score and score a ton. And so we're looking at people who make birdies, and that's just going to be, at the end of the day, Wes, like I guess when I was joking at the top about how I wish I could just take a week off, it's tough to handicap a tournament in which the most likely the winner is going to be the dude who rolls in a couple of putts he probably shouldn't have made. You know, like everybody's going to make a good amount of putts. Everybody's going to make a good amount of birdies. And it's probably going to be the dude that makes a couple 27, 28, 31 footers or something like that, you know, that other people are missing. is how this thing's going to break. And, you know, for you and I as golf handicappers, it puts a tough task in front of us, because we've said this a million times on here, but it's worth repeating in case somebody's finding us for the first time. Every golfer on the PGA Tour is the best golfer you've ever seen in your life, right? Like, if you went out to your local club and you watched them play, I'm fortunate enough to live in Vegas. At the club I play at, there are several pros that you know, when they go and practice out of there. When I watch these guys hit the ball and watch them play these holes, it's like they're playing a completely different game, right? And so what really separates these dudes is the courses. So you go to a course like we're going to get here at the Detroit Golf Club, and all these guys can go out and score on this course. So, you know, for you and I, it's a tough handicap, because is it likely that one of the guys at the top shows out? Absolutely. But is it just as likely that someone in that middle range just, like I said, rolls in that extra 31 footer, rolls in a couple of extra 24 footers, and that's just going to be the difference in the tournament?
Yeah, you've seen a couple bombs win here. The first year was Nate Lashley, 2019. Not a big long hitter, but just putted the lights out that week, 250-1. I think he was an alternate, actually, to get into the field, and then he did and won the darn thing. Cam Davis, that was one of the more painful losses in 2021, because I had the two guys that lost to Cam Davis in the playoff. And not Cam Davis, who won here at 150-1. And then you've seen Chalk. DeChambeau won here over Matt Wolff at 7-1 and 20-20. Fowler and Finau were both 14-1. So very small sample size here, but low scoring. You're going to have to score really, really super low to even be in contention. Like, you're going to have to be a better than 20 under to be on the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday.
Guys, if you haven't already, everything we do here on this podcast, absolutely free. So do appreciate you going and hitting that subscribe button. If you want to give us a rating and a review, we do appreciate that as well. And when we come back, we're going to go through what we threw in the models this week and give you all the plays that we have in our accounts. Welcome back to Long Shots, Golf Betting Podcast here on the Visa Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds coming to you, and it is the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Not going to be a field that we have seen the last 3 weeks, as we've had a couple of elevated events and a major, but a couple of guys up there that have been playing pretty well and some other guys that maybe fit this course. So, Wes, let's go through kind of what we threw into the models this week. And I'm interested how you went about it. And because I ran like five different versions trying to figure out what was the correct formula. And I don't know if I actually got to it or not. So maybe you can send me in the right direction. But how did you go about trying to tackle it this week and separate what may or may not be a dude that could kind of be, you know, whatever, the diamond in the rough, if you will?
Yeah, I don't know either. So I actually weighed off the tee and approach pretty much similar. I did use some driving distance here, even though you don't have to be a bomber necessarily to win here. But we've seen DeChambeau, and we've seen Finau, and we saw Taylor Pendriff a couple years ago, Cameron Young a couple years ago be runner-ups. Those are guys in the upper, certainly at least 20% in terms of driving distance on tour. So I did use some driving distance and some strokes gained off the tee. Approach, Ricky Fowler won here, basically being second in the field on approach last year. These greens, as you mentioned, pretty easy to hit, even though they're on the smaller side. In terms of the proximity, about half the shots are going to be 150 or less. So it's going to be, you know, all wedges, basically, in anywhere from 50 to almost 150. So you can go like 50 to 125, or you could separate them all by 25 yards if you want, 125 to 150. I also included in there. I did do some putting this week. I know more often than not we're team no putt, but this week it will come down to some putting. So Bent Poa. And this is 50-50, and like we were talking about with Hartford last week, it's a little bit more even 50-50, because I think it's probably about 80-20 or 75-25 bent to Poa up there. But the Poa that's not on the West Coast is not as bumpy and not as grainy, so it's a little smoother. So I did strokes gained putting on Bent Poa. Birdie or better, and if you really want to get more knee-deep in the weeds, you can go birdie or better on par fours or on par fives, because par threes are actually probably some of the tougher holes here. I think they were three of the four par threes were of the seven toughest holes on this course last year. So you can go par four, par five, birdie or better if you want to go extra. And then just a general one, I did strokes gain total, easy scoring conditions, because the average winning score is 23.2 strokes under par. So this is going to be one of the easier ones on the PGA Tour. So you want those guys that have flourished at Birdie Fest, and the Birdie Fest we've seen so far, obviously the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson is certainly one of them. Couple of the fall series events, the 3M Open that they play in Minneapolis, the John Deere Classic. Like, those are the ones where you're seeing 20 plus under par win.
Yeah, it was. So I'll explain to everyone out there what I did. And then I'm not saying this is right or wrong. You go about it however you think that you want to tackle it this week. So I did kind of the normal model in which I did, you know, like we're off the tee, some approach, some, you know, definitely going to put birdie better percentage. You're going to put some strokes gained on the par fives and things like that. So I did that kind of the normal deal, opportunities gained and things like that, where we want guys that are going to be putting it close to the pin and try to make these birdies. Then, Wes, I did just kind of like a more general model. And like you said, like we're typically team kind of like, hey, putting can come and go, but I think that this certainly could be something that benefits at least the better putters or something. So I just focused on the driving, the scoring, and then putting, right? And I put like a tiny little bit of wedge play in there, like the 75 to 100, which kind of splits that to that gap that we were talking about. Just to see if there was anybody who's like in this thing that putts, hits wedges, and actually can score, you know, on par fives or something, whatever, and stuff like that. So I kind of did a blend of all of those to see if anything stood out. And that's how I picked some of these names out. And my betting strategy this week is much different than it normally is, guys. So, Wes, I'm willing to take a zero this week, right? So I'm not going to play head-to-heads. I'm not going to play placement markets. I'm either going to play just strictly outright, maybe some top fives. That would be about it as far as placement market stuff. But like the top 40, top 20, top whatever in a tournament like this, where so many people can go low on any given day. What I hate is when the guys that I'm playing in these placement markets, when they play well and they just don't get rewarded for playing well, because again, some guy comes out and goes 8 under, 9 under, whatever it might be. It's like those don't sit well with me. And so tournaments like this, there's only a few a year where I'm willing to kind of take a zero. And this is one of them. So it's going to be basically all outrights and maybe a few sprinkles of top fives of dudes that maybe, you know, that I'm high on, that is, so long as they get close, I can make a little bit of money. But no head to heads for me this week. No, no top 20s, no top 40s, because it's typically not gone well for me in tournaments like
that. Yeah, this is a bad matchup week, I think, with so many that can contend. So I'm not going to have really any matchups or any three balls the first two rounds or anything like that. I might do some placements, maybe not as much. I think the placements, at least with lesser guys in the field, then that would certainly make logical sense, have been a little bit better for me. So, you know, might do a few, but this is a tournament where it's going to be a little bit smaller, because I really think anything can happen. You can make a case for all those guys at the top, but you can make a case for fading all of them as well, because there's going to be some triple digit guys that are going to be on the first page for sure this week.
Absolutely. I think if there's any placement markets to be made, for me, it would be something like that, right? And if I do get to some placement market stuff, it'll be up on VSiN.com/picks. But it would be like a top 40, but it would be a top 40 on a guy who's like, you're 200-1 or 250-1 to where like I'm still making some money on like basically an above average performance for this guy. These are dudes that normally don't make the cut, so you're actually getting good prices on them to top 40 or something like that. Would be how I would go about it more likely this week than anything else. So as we threw all the stuff in, spit things out, how did your card look?
Yeah, I've got 6 right now. I don't know if I'm going to add one or two more. Maybe this is the week to spread a little bit and just play smaller numbers. But I started actually at around 30-1. It's actually about 28 right now. And this is not a player I would usually play at this number, but I think it comes in with a decent angle here. Maverick McNealy at 28-1, who is pretty well rested, actually. He has not played since 4 weeks ago at the RBC Canadian Open, where he's T7. We know he's one of the best putters on the tour, especially on the bent POA. And it's not just the putting. He's top 10 in this field, actually, for strokes gained off the tee this season, was eighth here in 2020. So in a putting contest, Maverick McNealy is never, I think, a bad guy to at least have on your card.
Wes, Taylor, I join you. I'm joining you there on Mav. Yeah, I'm joining you there on Maverick McNealy as well. So we're both on Tom Kim last week. Hopefully we can send some juju Mav McNealy's way as well. Same deal. He was inside. Like I said, I dicked around with this model so many different times, and he was inside the top 10 in just about every single version that I ran. And like you say, it's just if you put some putting in there, he's going to show up. But I guess what was a little more shocking to me with Maverick McNealy is he's been a birdie maker here over the last little while. I mean, we're talking like birdie or better gained in this field, and this is like a date range dating back to February 12th overall in this field, which was pretty shocking to me. I was like, really? Maverick McNealy? And then you go to like birdie or better percentage, seventh in this field. And I was like, whoa, Matt, really? Matt McNealy? So yeah, I had to put him in there.
Yeah, I've got him there at the top. And then one that I missed the boat on a little bit on the number, I think it's under 30 now. I got him at 35, was Taylor Pendrith, who we mentioned earlier, co-runner-up to Finau in 2022. Pretty good form, won the Byron Nelson in May, which was another birdie fest, another easy course down there for the CJ Cup. Top 10 at the Wells Fargo, a couple T25s in Canada and at the Travelers, and then had a 16th at the U.S. Open, where he was kind of right around the top 10, actually, for a decent part of Sunday, and then just kind of fell off a little bit the last couple holes, ended up T16. He was third here after 54 holes before he finished 14th on Sunday. President's Cup is getting a little bit closer, so he's out of the automatic qualifiers right now, and the President's Cup is in Montreal this year, so, you know, the Canadian would certainly like to play at home and have a Canadian captain, Mike Weir, have him on the team, but got to show maybe a couple more good performances. And then a couple European players I played. I played Matt Wallace at 55-1, two top 12s here and three appearances in Detroit. Fourth last month at the Byron Nelson, another birdie fest. 15th last week. He is actually traveling back from Europe, which did kind of concern me. He was the tournament favorite over in the Netherlands. Fourth in this field for birdie or better, and first for par five birdie or better. So Matt Wallace, 55-1. And then Nikolai Højgaard at 60-1. Who ended 2023 in hot form, won that DP World Tour Championship and held off Rory and Victor Hovland for that, then was runner-up at the Farmers Insurance Open out in San Diego. Form's been kind of fair ever since, even though he has made the cut in all three of the majors so far this year. The irons are getting a little bit better. You know, still getting used to, I think, first full season primarily on the PGA Tour, but better competition, but a weaker field maybe is where he can pop. And then two triple digit guys, one really big bomber and one really good iron player. Alejandro Tosti at 100-1, a man from Argentina. If you watch that Houston Open, he almost bombed and gouged his way to a win there that Steven Yeager eventually got for us when Scotty Scheffler missed that birdie putt or that putt on 18. But T2 at the Houston Open, perfect, of course, for him to attack with the driver. And that's exactly what he's going to do here. So Alejandro Tosti, 100-1. And then Chandler Phillips, 110-1, who was T3 at the Valspar back in March. Last two starts, T12 at Colonial, T10 at the RBC Canadian Open. The wedge game is excellent for this guy, Chandler Phillips. Actually, number one for proximity, 125-150. So, you know, guy that's had a pretty solid rookie season, but not fully exempt because he came off the Corn Ferry, so he doesn't get into like all of the events. But this is an event, you know, where you can finish really well because we know a lot of the top end is not in this field.
Yeah, it's I actually have three different triple digits on my card. It was just basically where they ended up, you know, kind of on the model and everything. For me, so as I said, I'm with you on Matt McNealy. I'm doing scattershot again, guys, this week. Not saying that this is the best way to do it, but I'm taking, you know, X amount of units and just putting it out there on these on the various outrights as I have it right now. Matt McNealy, Davis Thompson for me.
I almost played him.
Yeah, he actually modeled out, Wes, like, I mean, way, way, way high for me. And so I dug in a little bit further. I'm like, what is going on with him? And just a guy that, again, sixth overall in the model for me. And you kind of go in, you're like, oh, you look across. And so people who've never modeled before, the way that most of the sites do it is you put in the little stuff, you weight the stuff, and then it spits out stuff and it kind of lets you know where these people stand relative to the field. Bright green is great. then it, so it gets a little darker green. That still lets you know it's all good. Like you're kind of in the, you know, you're in the upper, you're basically in like the upper 10%. Are you in the upper 20%, upper 30%? Like dark green means you're in the upper half of the field. And then it gets to like black and starts to turn red if you're in the bottom half of the field and all these. Wes, the only guy on my screen right now, which goes down to the 25 different guys that finished the highest in my model, the only guy that is green all the way across for every one of the categories I put in was Davis Thompson this week. Like he is in the upper half of every single thing that I put in this week. Now he doesn't super excel at any one of these things, but maybe the culmination of all of the things this week, but you go in and Davis Thompson off the tee. And again, this is since February, if anyone is wondering. Davis Thompson off the tee, 29th in this field, 25th on approach, 47th on weighted off the tee, 32nd birdie or better percentage, 11th in strokes gained par 5, 40th in driving distance, 32nd in strokes gained on easy scoring conditions, 17th birdie or better gain, et cetera. So you get it. So it's like a guy that is just across the board. Opportunities gained was very interesting to me because he's 10th in this field. So he's getting it inside 15 feet where he's at least giving him a chance to make birdies in a game that we're saying this week is going to be all about making birdies. So Davis Thompson was really the surprise to me in the model with things, how things spit out. Right behind him in the model was Steven Yeager. Steven Yeager, I wonder if he can putt enough, Wes, to get it done this week, but we're still getting 25-1 on a dude that might be the third best player in this field, like overall when it's all said and done. So I thought that was fair odds on him and where he was kind of sitting right now. And then we started getting these little longer guys, and these are all guys that we're basically just trying to do what Wes and I did this past this Sunday. I just need one of these guys to be in the mix. And if they can be in the mix, we can monetize the ticket. But Erik van Rooyen, anytime that we put in stuff in the model about we need dudes to score, Erik van Rooyen is very, very good at scoring. The problem is if you start plugging in bogey avoidance and he's going to pummel down the thing.
Right.
But the thing is there's not really bogey holes on this course. Like Wes mentioned, there's only two holes that have water. The rough isn't going to be all that penal. All this stuff like that, the bunkers aren't in like the fairway part where like you can hit them. And also it's not one of those deals where a guy, his fault, I think, is going to come into play as much for van Rooyen this week. And so you start to look and, you know, you put in par five scoring and you put in birdie or better percentage, you know, birdie or better gain, like any of the stuff that has deuce with score, like he can score. The problem is that he just usually has big numbers on his card as well. But I don't think that this course is going to be big numbers for these guys. And so, Erik van Rooyen, and then we get into like the real big bomb, Sam Stevens. Weirdly enough, Wes, like Sam Stevens was like 14th in one of my models, like sitting here, and is 12th in another one of the models. So I was like, really, Sam Stevens? And you go and you kind of look, and it's like, yeah, it's a fit on a course like this, right? Because if you put in just general approach numbers, he's going to fall down your models because he is just like overall approach game, not very good, not very high in this field. He's actually like 98th, 99th or something like that in overall approach. But if you just put in wedge stuff, which I didn't focus on the overall approach game because most of these are going to be short approaches, like Wes said. So you put in the wedge stuff, he's actually okay with the wedge stuff. He's just not very good everywhere else. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and hopefully he can get hot with the wedges this week. So Sam Stevens was a dude that popped in, and these are like three just bombs. Mac, you might even know how to say this name. Is it Mac Messner? Meissner?
I think it's Meissner. I'm not positive about that.
Yeah,
though.
Mac Meissner, a guy that was inside the top 20 in modeling for me. I had to dig in a little bit further. I'm like, why is this guy sitting where he's sitting? And then you go and you look, Wes, and it's like, I think he's like the perfect type of guy to bet for a tournament like this, right? Where if he plays his very, very best, he could pop. And if he plays terribly, he'll probably get cut. But like, who cares? You're betting a dude that's like triple digits, right? But we're talking like a T5 at the Charles Schwab, in which he gained across the board in every single category. You go down, you see like, okay, this guy has a T10 at the Valero, right? He's got like a T23 at the Puerto Rico, like T26 at the Valso. So it's a dude that like, if he puts it all together, can play pretty well, and it's an easy scoring condition course and all that. So you look at the harder stuff and he's bad, but that's okay. Like, we're not really worried about how he plays on hard courses because this is an easy course. So he popped for me. And then two other like big time bombs, Alex Smalley and Kelly Kraft are two other dudes that really, really popped in the modeling for me. You're going to find these dudes at like 300, yeah, like 300 to one, 350 to one. Very, very not likely to win. Obviously, these might be the dudes if you wanted to play probably some Marcus, right? Like if you get their A plus game, maybe they finish in the top 40 or top 20 or something like that. But if you can get them somewhere anywhere close on Sunday, we can try and make some money. But they were just way, way, way higher in the model than where the odds attached to them were. And so it's worth me throwing some peanuts on Smalley and Kelly Kraft. So again, that's Matt McNeely, Davis Thompson, Steven Yeager, Eric Van Rooyen, Sam Stevens, Mac Meissner, whatever it might be, Alex Smalley, and then Kelly Kraft for me this week. And again, I'm willing to take a zero, Wes. Like I don't ever say that. I don't say that very often, but I'm willing to take a zero. This tournament to me has never been, I've never had a lot of success at it. So I'm just going to try a different strategy.
Yeah. I've had a couple runner ups in it. This is like the John Deere next week. Even though the deer, you have a little bit more form because that's obviously been on the tour for forever. And, you know, you've got guys that regularly play that. So, yeah, I think this is one of the harder ones, this one. And then when we get the 3M Open later, I think it's in July or August. It might be after the Olympics. I haven't looked that far ahead on the schedule. But, yeah, because these are so new, these two Midwest events where you get really low scores, these are, I think, two of the harder ones because – you know, you have a good mid range in the field like this week, but you don't have a lot of top guys necessarily. Yeah.
And guys, listen, on a week like this, don't feel bad about pulling back on your allocation, right? I mean, like whatever you normally bet during the course of a week,
this is going to be tiny.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, don't feel bad about that at all, because it's just, you know, it's going to be tough to figure out who's going to again, make the most putts this week. So I think that it's perfectly fine if you want to pull back a little bit this week. As we said, if you're just finding us, do appreciate it. And go ahead, hit that subscribe button. And if you have not yet, you can go get a VEASAN Pro subscription. We're going to give you a free month if you use a promo code GOLF. So GOLF. And you can go in and you get everything, not just the golf picks. Obviously, you can get every single thing that we do over at VEASAN. That includes everything in the offseason and the soon to be released NFL betting guide as well that will be over on VEASAN.com. So never too early to start looking at football stuff, and we are going to get it out nice and early for you. Hopefully you can catch the best numbers on some of the bets out there. For Wes, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your Rocket Mortgage bets.